The season of Epiphany is a special time set aside for manifestations of the divinity of Jesus Christ. And today's particular gospel didn't spend much time on that, but it started by talking about John the Baptist. It said that he went to prison. And so I want to go back a little bit about John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist recognized that the power of the Holy Spirit fell on Jesus at his baptism. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." There were two people with him when he said that. He acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah and that anointing had fallen upon him to be the one who prepared the way for the Lord to come. And so what happened is one of those two people was Andrew. So, you know, if you're an Andrew, you know, you want to know that this is a very special role, because Andrew immediately went to his brother. He did what Father Brian said was normal Christian behavior. He immediately went to his brother Peter, and he told him, "We have found the Messiah." And he says, "Come and see." And so he actually drug him to Jesus, and this is that special moment in which Jesus looked into Peter and changed his name to Peter. You know, it was Anyway, he changed his name right there. But now in today's gospel, a little time has passed, because now at this point, Jesus is out beginning to call his apostles. And the very first two people he chooses are Peter and Andrew. So he's already talked to them. He's already been revealed to them as the Messiah, you know. And so he says to them, "Come, I will make you fishers of men." He says, "I will show you," in today's reading, it says, "I will show you how to be fishers of men." Now, I don't know about you. I need to ask first, how many of you have ever gone fishing? All right. Okay, this sermon is going to work. Okay. Had to know for sure that when I was 6 years old in Delphus, Ohio, is a little town in northwestern Ohio, they had a fishing tournament. And it was for all the kids. I had never been fishing in my life. So they had a little cane pole. And, you know, and we dug up a worm and stuck it on the pole. And much to my shock, I actually caught a fish. And for a brief moment, I was the champ. You know, I actually caught the very first fish. It turned out to be one of the smallest, you know. So I didn't, you know, so I was not inspired by that. So the next time I went fishing was 35 years later, you know, and I had been invited to go out on a really nice boat to go tarpon fishing. Everybody know what a tarpon is? A beautiful, beautiful fish. And as soon as we got in and we started to go out, I heard the captain say something. I remembered this from, you know, I don't remember a lot of things, but I remembered what he says. "We know where the fish are striking right now, and we're going to go there right now." And sure enough, he was right, you know. And so what happened is nobody told me that these fish are big and they're heavy. And, you know, and nobody gave me any instruction. And so, you know, a fish hit my line and he ran, you know, and you know, I was young. I was strong. I locked my arm in place, and I fought that thing for the longest period of time, you know, and it brought him all the way in, and he lifted it up, and he says, "It's only about 50 pounds, and he cut it. Wait, I want a picture, you know. I mean, you know. And after that, several of the women that are there, they caught him, and they're over there going like this, and they're kind of walking it back, you know. I'm thinking, you know, it would have helped if somebody had told me this. So when I'm going to talk to you about fishing, I am not an expert at fishing. But, you know, there are some things about fishing that must be very important Because Jesus chose as his first two apostles fishermen. So what is it about? He wants us to be fishers of men. So I wanted you to think a little bit about what it is, what's involved in fishing. So if you're going to go on a fishing trip, what do you have to do before you leave home?
Put your gear.
Right. That one I had not planned on, but that was perfect. It's not a bad idea to pray, depending on where you're going. Okay. And what else do you do?
To prepare? Gear together.
You get the gear. Okay. What is the gear complete? What is involved?
Your rod, your reel.
Line, bait.
Sinkers.
Hooks.
Hooks. Lures. I don't even know what a lure is.
Did you say beer?
Beer. And so, and you have all those things, right? And then you go to the place that you're going fishing. Now, if you've never fished at that location before, what's the first thing you do?
I ask the fishermen there.
Ask the fishermen there, where are the fish? Isn't that an interesting thing? You know, you ask them, where are the fish biting right now? And that's where you go, and you kind of take their counsel, their advice, and you're hoping you're going to get some fish. And, you know, you may do really well. And so it would be a grand celebration. You've had a great fishing experience. Now, one of the things I've heard about fishing is there's no guarantee they're going to bite for a long time. And so there's this other aspect of fishing called patience. How many of you got a real strong amount of that, you know? So this is the time. That's where you need the beer. No, I mean. So you're waiting for the fish to come. They come in. And now I wanted you to stop and think about this as a story telling you about how we're to live as a Christian. We start every week, Father Brian starts out, with normal Christian behavior, right? What's our normal? Our normal Christian behavior is to go fishing for men every week, right? Amen?
Amen.
We are understanding that. Yes. And in order to go fishing, you know, there has to be some kind of preparation, and that's where he talked about it, prayer, all right? You're going out, you're going fishing in the name of the Lord, and you're trying to be prepared for what might happen, so you spend some time. You know, it's very interesting. This particular reading goes right after Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights preparing to go fishing. He spent a long time out there preparing. A lot of time, preparing himself, you know, in the role that God had chosen for him. And, you know, and I always wondered that he was involved in that decision directly, but probably we're led to believe that he set aside the fullness of his divinity, and the Father was fully in that role at that point. So anyway, when we're going out, what's the first thing we have to be reminded of? Where are we going? Where the fish are. Amen? Now, you're going to go somewhere where there are people if you're going to go intentionally to go fishing for the kingdom of God, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about your equipment. What is your lure? What are you going to lure them in on? What's the thing that you have? What's your bait? You know, what is the thing that's going to draw them to give you a chance to share the good news of Jesus Christ?
Yourself as an example.
Yourself as an example, right. You know, I found out a long time ago that people love some people that smile, but they're afraid of them. I want you to think about that. They're afraid of people that are smiling. They think, what do they know about? I don't know. I found out I make people nervous all the time because I'm always smiling, right? But anyway, you go out having been praying. you know, seeking, and you go out there, your bait is the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ and the fact that you have been filled with the Holy Spirit and that you're going out. Now, there was talking in the other scripture there today was talking about the church, you know, being of one heart and mind. Do you remember that part in that scripture? You know, sometimes we really kind of ignore things like that. But if the church is a witness in the world, it's not always a good witness, however, right? We make a bad witness because, you know, we have we have not shown one heart and one mind. We have not shown the love of Jesus Christ in the way we treat one another, which is, by the way, a huge drawing effect, you know, into the kingdom of God. One of the reasons people are attracted to this church is because we're a loving family. You know, people talk about it. Come on. You know, we've got a wonderful church of loving people that are eager, you know, to invite other people to come and join part of the family. So if you go out, you know, one of the things you have to be prepared for is not everybody you meet is going to allow you to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, one of the things I heard about is there's a group of, there's a church that goes out as two guys wearing white shirts. I'm not going to mention any names or anything like that. But they go out and they knock on doors. And I found out for an interesting thing is they say that only one in 200 will allow them to in any way share what they have to share. One in 200. And they said, well, boy, that must be really depressing. He says, when we walk away from somebody that closes the door on us, we just say, oh, we're one step closer to somebody that really is going to give us a chance to share what they think is their good news. I won't go down that path. but the fact of the matter is they've learned something. You know, you don't lose confidence because not everybody receives what you have to share. In fact, that's probably why they're pretty good salesmen, I heard, because not everybody is prepared to listen to the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, the one thing I know about fishing is that you're supposed to put something in there that's supposed to draw them, get them curious. Now, if you're going out as a Christian on fishing for the kingdom of God, what is it that might draw them into a discussion with you?
You always want to carry a good book with you.
Carry a book, good book with you? That might scare them away, too. Okay.
Have your cross on.
Have your cross on. That often does. However, in our society, it's become jewelry. But at least it causes curiosity.
Listening ears.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting thing. I told some of you this when I was in the E church. They sent me off to become a licensed evangelist. Isn't that kind of cool? In a church that had no clue as to what evangelism was, they sent us off, you know. And interestingly, so they sent us to Mercy Center, which is up in the Bay Area, and it was at the high school there where the nun that wrote, come on, help me, the song. This is the one about the whole thing about communion. I can't think of the name of it right now. My mind just went blank. That's okay. But anyway, when we were there, we spent the whole day. They asked us to share our testimony with each other. The whole first half of the day, you know? And so we shared our testimony to one another. And then the other half that we shared it with Then they share their testimony with us, and the day's running out. And we're thinking to ourselves, okay, now what? And then they say, okay, now this is, you're going to be certified. All you have to do is go out into the world and listen to people's story. I thought, well, that's too easy. It's not as easy as it sounds to get people to tell you the story. You know, because most of us are in a habit of interrupting and telling them our ideas and our thoughts and our experiences and so on and so forth. And they tried to tell us that day that the key to evangelism is learning to get people to talk about their life. And if they tell you enough about their life, they will tell you a whole bunch of reasons they need to give their heart to Jesus Christ. That's the only way you'll ever know. So I think that's a great way to find out who it is that we're going to have their heart open to at least listening to the good news we have in Jesus Christ. So anyway, those are just some of my initial thoughts about fishing. And so I'm hoping that Father Brian has more success when he asks the question, because you need to remember that when you leave here, you're going fishing in the kingdom of God, and you need to pray that God is going to lead you to people that have a need to share something about their heart and their life and the needs that they have in their life, and they'll open the door and you can share the good news of Jesus Christ.